Welcome to the Explorinate Podcast.
Welcome to the Explorinate Podcast. I am your host, Rob, and joining me again today is Ben. Welcome, Ben.
Thanks, Rob. How's it going, man?
Yeah, man, I'm doing really good. I'm really excited to introduce our guest tonight, who is Mila from Muha Games, here to talk to us about Master of Magic. Welcome to the show, Mila.
Hi, guys. It's really nice to be here.
It's really great to have you, and we're just a few short days away from you guys releasing the Master of Magic remake, and I've got to ask, how are you doing leading up to all this?
Good. I'm tired because I haven't slept for a few days. So, but yeah, excited and nervous.
Oh, I'm sure. I can imagine that you are probably pretty nervous. I mean, there's a lot of expectations going into this. And I mean, I think we'll get into this a bit later for sure. But I want to quickly digress and just let the audience know that you might recognize Mila's voice because she used to do our weekly exchange introduction. You know, we've had a long history of talking back and forth and just really being big fans of Muha Games. But now I hope you're ready to talk a lot about Master of Magic because we have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready. And yeah, it's really nice to talk to you again. And yeah, I think we've always had a good thing going with Explorinate. Like, you know, it's always been nice to come on the podcast or do written interviews. So yeah, happy to do it.
Excellent. Because I've actually invited Ben here specifically because he's our Master of Magic, Caster of Magic expert. He's done a lot of Caster of Magic videos for our YouTube channel. And so I'm actually going to turn it over to him and have him ask the first question.
Yeah, so I'm kind of interested to know, what was your approach when you came to start developing this game? I assume that you played a whole lot of the original game and then kind of decided to what it was that you were going to do with it, right?
Yes, I mean, we were initially approached by Citherin, so it wasn't kind of our initial idea to do a remake, but when we were approached, we were happy to take it on. And yeah, we've played hours and hours of MOM. Some of us have played it in our youth. I have, and one or two of the guys have as well. So we had these childhood memories of MOM to go off, but we definitely had to play a lot and also just read the forums, read the manuals and everything to try and figure out how we're going to do it. And actually, I think from the initial planning phase, I think our initial plans were quite a bit smaller. But I think as the more we got into it, the more we decided that the only way to remake Master of Magic is to try and do it as faithfully as we can. I think we reached a point when we were like, well, if we simplify things, it's just not going to be that anymore. And so we got the bite the bullet and do it that way. So yeah, that was the process.
Would you say that was one of the challenges of this project? Expectation management and kind of pleasing people who've got these sort of childhood memories, like you say. I didn't actually play Master of Magic the first time round. I think I was about 14 when that game came out, but it passed me by. It was one of those games that I didn't play, but I've come to it in more recent years. I think I first played it about 5 or 6 years ago now. And I love it. I think it's amazing. So I think it's still, the base game still stands up today on a gameplay level. Yeah, to kind of live up to the expectations of these misty memories from back in the 1990s for so many people. Was that a challenge for you, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I had to say, you know, if I had to choose one thing that was the hardest to deal with this project, it would certainly be that. But it's kind of connected to the technical side of things. So it's one thing that the challenge was to of course hit that kind of nostalgic note and please the hardcore fans that are just, I mean, amazing. They've been playing it for decades. But it's actually so interlinked with how different the design was of games back in the 90s. Like, you know, I think the way Master of Magic is done, and obviously we didn't have any source code or any contact with the original developers or anything like that. But the way, you know, looking at how the spells and the skills and everything works, it's so custom made. It's impossible. I think Robert, our programmer, has kind of gone a bit mad from it, because it's like if you in a normal project, so in Thea, if you have a bug or a crash or something, and you know you find the issue, it will actually usually fix a whole range of issues, because that particular thing would have affected all sorts of six systems in the game, because those systems would have been interconnected, and that's good because you know it just works smoother and everything. And in Master of Magic, it's you fix one spell and you've literally fixed one spell, and you have, you know, hundreds of them. And that's the thing that I said we've come across, like when we started the project, or soon, you know, a couple of months into the project, it's like we could have tried streamlining it into a more modern design, but then we felt that it would have lost something in lost in translation type of thing. You know, when you try to simplify mechanics, we felt, you know, the spells just wouldn't feel like they are Master of Magic anymore. So yes, so that was the one biggest challenge, is once we started trying to recreate it so faithfully, of course, you know, I won't lie and say we've managed it 100%. Of course we didn't, because, you know, we had to guess a lot of the time, and we had to work with what we had. And, you know, we are six people, so that has also been a challenge. And just always looking at the Discord channels and the forums to see, you know, are the people okay with where we're going. So, but that, again, that's been actually also a huge upside of the project, is that the fan base has been kind of strong and, you know, outspoken and very kind of honest about with the feedback. But that has helped tremendously.
That leads me to my next question, which is that I've always been curious to know whether or not Muha Games always intended to be very faithful to the original Master of Magic, or was there ever any discussion behind the scenes about maybe possibly adding your own flavor to it? Or, I mean, like, even more so than you have already, like maybe designing some of the aspects of the game differently, or was it always your intention with Slytherin to stay as true to the formula as you could?
Yeah, I think when we first took on the project, I think we perhaps imagined that we would make more changes in modernizing the game. Like I think maybe we thought we could get away with more. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say such things, but you know me, I'm a straight talker. So yeah, I think we initially thought maybe we can kind of make it a bit, don't want to kind of dig myself a hole, but yeah. I think we did think we could make it simpler, but even before we started the beta and even before we started talking directly to our fan base, just from playing the original and kind of reminding ourselves of what the original means and how it plays, I think very quickly we sat down, we were like, no, it won't work. It just, you know, and I myself am not a fan of adaptations that kind of mess with, I don't know, with the core. So yeah, so I hope that answers your question. Yeah, I think we did think we could change more, but then yeah, it was very soon after we started that we took on the as much faithfulness as we can course.
Could you possibly give us a synopsis of the things you have changed, other than the obvious stuff like the hex-based system and stuff like that? And I know that you've made some tweaks to some of the spells and stuff, but what other changes should the players expect?
Oh, you know, that's a tough question, because there's a lot of little things that, like, so things that we've tried to recreate, but, you know, we couldn't for various reasons. But yeah, so there's the hex map for sure. I think we've added more modability, which is good. I hope it's going to be good. Yeah, I'm going to have a little think about it. I did actually create a list for this recently, but of course it all escapes my mind when you ask me the question. But there's definitely spell mechanics that we've had to change. The Hydra, for example, just to give you an actual example, the Hydra in the original Master of Magic, it was one figure, but it had nine heads or seven heads, I can't remember, and it was kind of a one figure that was treated as nine figures. It was very, very convoluted, the mechanics of the original Hydra. And there's just no way we could recreate it and not create another kind of nightmare for ourselves. So we cut it down. So it now has, our version has three heads, but we gave each head a different breath attack. And we actually added a new breath attack, which is actually the first thing, the first bit of content that we actually added was that breath attack to accommodate the change to the Hydra so that it still felt special enough like it did in the original. But yeah, it had to be different. There's other spells like Flying Fortress in the original that we had to change. We actually called it a Fortress of Flying now, and instead of the building flying, the building now gives fly to units. So yeah, there's been kind of little tricks like that we did go for with a lot of the things where we just couldn't see a feasible way of copying the original mechanics. Yeah, that's the sort of things off the top of my head that I can think of.
So it seems to me that when I was reading some of the community patch notes, particularly Cerevi's version, which was Caster of Magic, where he was kind of going through the original game and trying to, I think initially just trying to get the AI to play better. So he was making some mechanical changes. He documented what he did very thoroughly. And there seemed to be changes that were made to do, some were to do with balance. There were other changes that were to facilitate AI, you know, kind of the game being able to play itself a little bit better, because I think that was one of the original criticisms of the original Master of Magic, was that the AI was kind of bugged. And then there's, I guess now you've got the added challenge of just how much technology has moved on since the 90s. I mean, just on a kind of code level, the way that people were writing code in those days in order to fit to the constraints of memory management and that kind of thing, they were having to do some really weird tricks. And you kind of made me think about this when you were talking about the Flying Fortress spell, because I think I seem to remember that one was causing problems in the community patches as well. Would you say that, you know, these kind of algorithmic constraints and memory constraints and that kind of thing, has that kind of shaped some of the changes that you've made, would you say?
As in, have we tried to upgrade things that were limited in the original? Yes and no. I mean, obviously, as I said, we didn't have the original source code, so I guess everything we've recreated is without those restrictions. But at the same time, we have actually been trying not to change things unless we absolutely have to. And for example, the challenge with the AI, I think so initially when we started the project, we were all like, oh yes, of course, we're going to make this AI of ours like 100 times better than the original because new technology and everything. But actually, because of how custom made everything is in the original Master of Magic and now in ours, it has actually, I think we've created our own obstacles that have made the task of creating a challenging AI, I would say, equally big. So yeah, of course, you know, technology has changed, and I'm sure, and that's unfortunately not a question for me. I think Robert would have to sit here and tell you all about the tech side of things. But then, you know, new challenges arise anyway. I think what I'm trying to say is maybe sometimes we are even too faithful to the original. Like, you know, I think we have focused so much on trying to recreate everything. I think it's entirely possible that we've missed places where we could have gotten ourselves out of that box. But I think perhaps that will come in time once we get to sit back and see this baby of ours walking.
I think one thing that we can all agree with is that Muha is really, really good at forming strong aesthetics in games. That's one of the things that really delighted me about Thea and Thea 2, is that the aesthetic, the art, the music, the writing, everything just went so well together. And I'm from the small amount that I've played the new Master of Magic press version, I'm seeing that kind of same strong theme that you've kind of put in. Was that fun to work on? Because it looks like you've really gone to town with everything there.
Yeah, of course. And well, yes, that's a big upgrade from the original. So that's what we've been, well, that's what we've, I shouldn't say upgrade, because as you said yourself, the original still actually, you know, stands on its own two feet and is brilliant. But that's a big change that we've kind of implemented, is just trying to create that kind of feel of Master of Magic. And yeah, I think recreating that was a lot of fun. I think from my perspective, so that kind of narrative design, which is just kind of writing and the world building and everything that's involved with that, it's been fun but also a challenge. I think it's safe to say I prefer to do my own creations after this experience, but it was still a good experience to have, and yeah, I did enjoy kind of trying to get into that Master of Magic mindset and trying to be respectful to the source material, but also, inevitably inject a little bit of myself into it.
Could you speak to the differences about like what it's like to work on a game where you're basically creating everything from scratch? You know, with Thea 1 and Thea 2 is all your creation. And then now you have basically worked from a template, right? Where you had to recreate a game that was already made. I mean, can you talk to about how different that was for you guys and you know, maybe some of the challenges you faced?
Yeah, well, I'm going to speak from obviously my own department because I can't really speak for everyone else too much. Although, no, I'll start with I think what is our general feeling in the company, as it were. I think it was a very different experience to have that design doc. So the game was the design doc, which was certainly a new experience to us. So instead of the process that we went through is, you know, we created the design and then we would change it ad hoc. So depending on the resources we had, ideas that didn't work, we would cut stuff, we would add stuff. You know, it was a very flexible experience, I think, with Thea. So here, I think the huge difference was that there was very, very limited flexibility. So instead of, if something doesn't work, instead of Robert saying, right, that's it, we're throwing it out, we were like, no, we have to sit down and try and figure out a way for it to work. So that's the big difference. And it kind of ties into my experience of it too. So I think having that frame already there is kind of nice in a sense. Yeah, you don't have to do the extra work of coming up with those things. But then you do have that frame that you have to work within and you can't step outside of it, which actually I thought I would be more okay with, but I think I did find that a huge challenge at times. But I'm kind of grateful for that because, you know, in working in a kind of in a small studio, you don't often get opportunities to, like, if you're not doing a remake, so if you're not doing someone else's IP, you tend to go into your comfort zones. Whereas I think with Master of Magic, we've all been kind of dragged out of our comfort zones and pushed, which I think in the end is really good.
Yeah, it definitely rounds you out as a creative mind, I think, because it reminds me of when I learned to program on my own and then later on I went to university. So I went from kind of working at my own pace and just, you know, being completely having absolute freedom to do what I wanted to then being placed into a situation where you've got a brief, you've got to do a specific thing. And it works the same with creative arts as well, because I'm familiar with that too. It's a real constricting process initially, but I think that framework actually allows you to grow because there's a certain kind of creative process that is nurtured by being very constrained in what you can do. You can actually find creativity in the smallest of places. And I really feel that you've kind of done that in Master of Magic, because when I first saw the aesthetic, you know, kind of the art style and all that, I was like, wow, this is really different. I'm not sure if I like it. And the more I've played it, the more I'm starting to see, it actually really ties in really, really well. And just little things from little, you know, kind of snippets of text that you've put in there, the way the characters kind of look. And yeah, I think you can tell that you've been able to put in your own artistic flair.
And that's really good to hear. Yes. Yeah, we have tried. Yeah. So me and Eva, we're the ones that kind of try to work on. So she does the art side and I kind of do the text stuff and we work together to try and create that kind of, the look, the feel. So I'm glad you said that it works. And yeah, that was you are absolutely right. I think having those constraints can quite a lot of the time push you. It's the same, I think, with budgets and stuff. It's you know, when we did Thea 1, it was on a shoestring budget, and I think wonderful things came out of that because, you know, when you there's no other way, you find a way. And here it was a different, obviously we were still constrained in terms of resources, but also the added constraint of the IP and being a remake, I think, has just forced us to think differently and to work through problems in a constructive way. So I think that's great. And also, you know, just the pleasure of seeing people play and seeing people that have played for decades and saying, yeah, we feel like we're playing Master of Magic. I mean, for me, that's been just an amazing experience.
Mila, so I have a question about managing expectations, because I know going into this, there's going to be some people that think that a reboot might mean, you know, maybe different mechanics or some modernization of some of the stuff. And you guys have stuck so true to the Master of Magic formula. I wonder how you guys are going to manage those expectations and what it is you think that's going to be important in order to do that?
Well, in general terms, the marketing team at Slytherin is, I'm sure, working hard at getting that message across. But I do my best on the community forums and our newsletters and stuff. Just from our side, that's the bit that we can do to keep that communication going. But I think it's important to note here, you know, when you do an adaptation, I think the only sane thing to do is to know that you are not going to please everyone. So I don't know if the beta is a kind of how good of a sample it is, but I am feeling hopeful that the general reception of the game from the hardcore gamers is good, is fairly positive. I only say fairly, not to be too, you know, not to kind of raise the expectations, but it's been very pleasant. And then the new players, I think that's it. For me now, I think we've done everything we possibly could for the fans of Master of Magic. And I do hope that by me communicating very openly on the Discord channels with them and everything, I would hope they know that we've done as much as we can by this point. So I think now the thing that I stress about, for example, is certainly the new player base, because maybe we were too faithful, maybe we did go down that route and we did please the old fans, but maybe we didn't do enough to make it, you know, modern or something. But you can't think about it too much, and as I said, I think I'm sure the marketing will do the best to try and get that message across that, you know, this is a faithful remake, but it's such an awesome game that everyone should enjoy it.
I think you're underselling it, actually. And I am one of those guys, by the way, who is really, really hard to please with these kind of things, because I don't really like remakes that much as a rule. And that's just because I'm a bit funny. I'm quite happy to play really old games, even if they're played in DOSBox. And, you know, I'll struggle through the difficult UIs and kind of getting them working on modern machines and all that kind of stuff, right? So I'm the difficult guy that you've got to please. And aside from some initial misgivings about the aesthetic originally, I'm starting to see it. I like it, and so I think you're being polite. I think you're being overly polite. There's two points I want to make. One, the original design of Master of Magic is still really good. I don't think the game has aged particularly badly. There are certain quality of life things that I think Master of Magic, that was kind of a problem from Master of Magic, you know, right through Master of Orion 2. This is something that Simtex kind of baked into their games. So this whole idea of colony management or city management with building buildings, I think that works better in Master of Magic than in Master of Orion 2. I find it really tedious in that game, actually. But when I was playing the remake, your Muha's remake, I really didn't feel like that was kind of getting in the way. The way that you presented it, actually, it looks so nice. You can see the buildings go up. It's actually, I think the eye candy really gives that mechanic more, you know, more meat. And I think it really draws you in. And I like to see that, because sometimes little aesthetic changes like that can really go a long way to drawing the player into this immersive experience. So my second point is, in trying to please everybody, I think you've made a fairly good job, because I think that any issues that Master of Magic has with its aged game design, I don't think are as bad as some people claim, in my personal opinion. And I think what you've done is you've supported the game in the areas where it might have been lacking with this nice user interface and some of the aesthetic choices that you've created.
Oh my God, again, that's really good to hear. See, we need more of that, then we'll be fine. We'll be fine. No, that's what we were aiming for. As I said, you know, we've at this point, you know, Tuesday being the release date, I think that's the mantra that we're all trying to tell ourselves, is that, you know, we've tried it the best that we can. So we've tried to, most of all, respect the original material. We've kind of nibbled on Caster of Magic a little bit, but not too much, because apparently it's a really controversial issue. And then, you know, we've added our own bits here and there where we, you know, either thought they were necessary or we simply couldn't do it any other way. So yeah, now it's all baked and ready to go. I hope other people will see it that way.
Yeah, I think on the topic of Caster, I feel like I was a little bit spoiled with that, because I do think it's a very, very good game, and it's been developed for such a long time. People forget that. It was a community project as well. So although certain aspects of base game Master of Magic kind of annoy me now, like how slow the population growth is, I find the early game a little bit slow still. However, I think that the choice to make Master of Magic as the base for, you know, the original game is definitely the right thing to do. Now, I've had time to think about this, because when I was first playing, I wasn't sure and I was kind of complaining a little bit. And now I'm thinking, you know what? I think if you'd have gone with Caster, you'd have really alienated some of the original fans. In fact, a lot of the original fans, because you're absolutely right. Caster is a contentious issue. Not everybody likes the changes that were made in that mod. So that must have been a difficult choice, but I think you've probably done the right thing. And it sounds like the game is quite well moddable, so people could always, you know, add that in later. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, that's I think that's what I hope. I hope we've made it friendly enough for modders and modders. And I know some people have already been modding the beta, so I do think, and more tools will come. So yes, I think Caster of Magic is perfectly doable as a mod. And now having the blueprint, and also, you know, CeraVe being, as far as I know, alive and kicking and well, you know, I think that can be achievable. The decision for us, it was, I think, from reading the forums and just playing the game and how different the two games were, I think that was actually a decision quite early on. We were like, well, those are two different games, and we were hired to do Master of Magic, not Caster of Magic. So we went with that. But as CeraVe himself suggests, you know, we have certainly been inspired by some of his changes. And I can't remember now, I think the settler for sure, starting with a settler, and yeah, no, just other bits of pieces that we certainly thought we could sneak in without people biting our heads off. But yeah, I think just certainly it would have been a dangerous game to try and go fully with Caster. And also, yeah, I think, as I said, Caster has its creator, and I think it's probably best to leave it up to him.
Speaking of mods, Mila, are you guys planning on launching with Steam Workshop support?
In all honesty, I'm not sure that we've managed to implement workshops. If it needs something extra doing, I don't think it can be ready for the launch itself. But if not, then very soon after. Because we do want modding to be a big thing for Master of Magic, and we didn't manage to add all the options for modding yet that we want to be there. So yeah, if Workshop is not ready day one, it will be within the first month, I would say.
So what kind of things can people mod already? Are you able to like mod in leaders, or are you able to change events? Are you able to, you know, what kind of things are we going to be able to mod? You know, are we going to be able to do a kind of Caster Magic mod?
I'm probably telling you things that I know we want to finish, and I don't remember whether it's been implemented yet. But in the finished kind of modding tool, we want to all the graphics for heroes, units, events, things like that. You should be able to import your own. I think you should be able to do that now even. Yeah, you can change all the database stuff, so you can adjust traits, skills, magic, or anything like that. The things that you probably won't be able to do unless we come up with a great way to make it accessible, but we haven't so far, is adding 3D models is still an issue that, yeah, we haven't tackled. Adding special effects to spells and things like that, you can't mod those. So you have to use the existing ones basically for your mods. at the moment. So yeah, you can literally create your own races, your own new spells, your own, yeah, just a variety of things. I've already seen people creating their own heroes and traits and skills. So yeah. Oh, and events, of course, but that's kind of like we had in Thea 1 and 2. You have the event editor that you can go into and create whole adventures from there. So yeah, that's what we're aiming for. As I said, there might be one or two things that we need to still add in post-release, but that's the plan, to have all those things moddable. Elements of the UI too, but not everything, of course, because some of these things do need to be hard-coded, but we've tried to give access to as many places as possible.
Please bear with me as I digress here for just a minute, but I know you guys were working on a DLC for Thea 2 there for a minute, and I haven't really seen anything about it. Is that still something you guys are working on?
I hope so. I mean, I can tell you that Robert, in his spare time in the recent weeks, has revisited Thea 2. So I'm hoping that's a sign that we might be able to revive that. It was so sad because we had it all kind of designed and prepped, and even some of the assets kind of bought and ready. And then just suddenly the work on Master of Magic just got so big that, yeah, there was just no spare time to slot it in, which we're very annoyed with ourselves that we've announced it and then couldn't finish it. It will get finished. It's and now I think price releases, everything goes smoothly, I think we will have more time to work on it. So fingers crossed.
So what's the plan with the with Master of Magic then? Are you going to, you know, do your usual round of patching and support and that kind of stuff, but are you intending on expanding on the game with DLCs or anything like this, or is it a done product now?
Oh, it's not a done product for sure. No, I can't make any official announcements because I've not been given a green light to do so. But suffice to say that there may be a DLC coming that I may or may not be very excited about, because that would be something that I could add to the game. That would be my own. So, but yeah, for any official confirmations of that, you'll have to wait for official announcements. But, you know, if everything goes well, we do want to, yeah, I'll frame it that way. We want to do DLCs and continue. Life being as it is, you can never be certain, but we're certainly not planning on the release being the final thing we do.
Yeah, I remember you at some point, and I think it was on the forums or maybe in an announcement or on the Discord, you had said that, you know, there's some plans or at least some ideas of what you'd like to do for DLC. And I'm hopeful that you guys will, you know, maybe try to inject some of that Muha flavor, some of that uniqueness of what Muha is into the Master Magic formula. You know, because I think once you've developed the game, once you've, you know, gotten the baseline game out, it's a, you know, opportunity to change things up a little bit and make it more of a Muha game and less of a Simtex game.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, I'm definitely, like I think I've mentioned before, with this, you know, kind of constraints and frames and stuff, I think, I can see that happening. Because yeah, we've done the base, and of course we'll continue to polish it, because inevitably there'll be things that still need kind of tweaking here and there, just to make that base even stronger than it is now. But yes, I think I'm with you on that boat. Basically, I don't know if that's a good thing to say as a developer, but yeah, I'm with you on that boat. I think I'm kind of more excited about the future stuff. Not that I'm not excited, obviously, about the current, but I guess, you know, just from, I think it's natural that in my department, so everything that I normally do has already been done, and I was just there as a guard to make sure that the team is following the original, which was a very different role from my usual. So I think it's hopefully seen as a natural thing for me to be more excited about going back to my normal role and yeah, creating some new content. So we'll see how that works, if it happens.
I'm laughing now because I've got this idea of you kind of like cracking the whip, where the development team are trying to go off in different directions, like, you know, four horses pulling the chariot in, you know, north, south, east and west, and you're saying, no, we've got to stick to the plan.
Yeah, well, you laugh, but it's a bit like that. It's like, you know, that's that. I feel that's been a bit, yeah. I think we've never had a producer at Muha because we're too small, but I said this project has kind of forced me into that role a little in that, you know, and it's, I think it just comes from my character. I myself, I think you said you don't like remakes much, and I'm actually in the same boat again, I would say, in that I dislike remakes or adaptations that go off on kind of wild sidetracks and kind of think that they know better. I mean, now that I've been on the creating side of things, I can certainly appreciate more how it happens and that it's not always the bad will of the makers when it happens. But at the same time, yeah, I admit I have been the one standing there with the whip and kind of saying, nope, this is how it was in the original. That's how we're going to try and make it.
It's nice to hear that. It's funny because I have been going on a bit of a rant about remakes recently, and my concerns are essentially the same as yours. I think that, at least from a consumer's perspective, you know, why can't you just make it right? You know, that's the sort of audience thing. It's like, why can't you just do it right? And when the grim reality of the production process comes, you know, in the grim reality of the production process, there's so many things that you have to balance. You've got to balance fan expectations from the old timers. You've got to balance expectations of new gamers who want, you know, modernized mechanics, and translating old mechanics into new ones it's not necessarily as easy as it sounds without kind of breaking what you've got. I think the Master of Magic was the original in its unedited, you know, unmodded form. And I don't even mean Caster of Magic. I mean the original, like the insecticide patches and those ones that kind of fix some of the AI issues. Before that, in the state that Simtex released it, it was a broken game. In my opinion, I think it was, I think what happened was, I'm guessing here, that they had some problems with the game that they couldn't fix. So they made some last minute changes to get it working in a way that plays very, very differently, I think, to how it might have been initially planned. I feel like the original Master of Magic was a very sandbox-like experience because it was relatively easy. But whatever it was that they did to it actually played in a wonderful way because it gave the player a very large toolbox within which to kind of explore this fantasy world. And it wasn't a very heavy pressure-based game unless you really ramped up the difficulty. So, and then as we saw, when fans started kind of changing that with bug fixes and patches, and, you know, then, you know, like with CeraVe's stuff, all that kind of thing, you see that the game changes drastically from this kind of like sandbox fantasy experience into quite a hard, difficult, pressure-based game where, you know, the AI is just trying to kill you and it uses all these crazy tools. So I kind of feel like Master of Magic was a bit of almost like a bit of an accident with the way that it plays. When I was looking at your game, I was really interested to see how, you know, you can be faithful to the original Master of Magic and please people who played the original, but who is it you're really trying to please? Because it's like, are you trying to please the people who played that kind of sandboxy, slow-paced, you know, non-pressure-based version of Master of Magic? Or are you trying to please the community who carried on playing it with the patched versions, you know, who liked like more difficulty? And I feel like the game is more difficult now, at least as far as I've been able to play it with the press version. So yeah, I think you kind of got somewhere, you know, towards balancing those two extremes. Do you think that's a fair point?
Yeah, that's been a challenge, actually. You know, you're saying the game is more difficult made me giggle because the conversations I've been having the last month on Discord and, like, you know, all the hardcore players saying that, you know, it's way too easy. And then me dying on normal difficulty, I'm like, well, that's actually been something we've been discussing the last month, actually, precisely what you've said, because, and Robert's been the one to bring up this issue of the people that have signed up for the beta, who are wonderful, by the way, and they've, oh my God, they've spent hundreds of hours testing the game and just awesome. But obviously they know the game inside out. I literally don't think there's a difficulty level one could make that would make it challenging for them. Because if you know something that well, they know the old game that well. They now know ours equally as well. I mean, including the little changes we've made and everything. So what we've now kind of aimed at is the difficulty level. So easy, the way we've tried to do it at least is the easy setting should give you that kind of sandbox experience where the AI doesn't bother you much. And it is really, you can just focus on just growing, exploring, and you kind of go on the larger map. And so you have time and you're really not really pressured by much at all. And then as you go up, that changes. So from hard, and then if you custom it, so you can go from hard, you can also set it to even harder through the custom settings. That's where you could go on a very small map and the AI wants to kill you immediately. And that's actually been by design. We said, you know, what can we do on the hardest difficulties to make it a challenge for those hardcore players. Is the way we've done it is basically the wizards on the hard difficulty are not playing anymore. I mean, it is the Master of Magic. There can be only one. So they're like, you know, they see you, they declare war. And so you've got to fight with them straight away. So yeah, so the way we've tried to tackle what you said is through difficulty settings that I think they do play fairly differently from easy up to hard.
Yeah, this is it. And one of the conversations that we often have at Exploraminate with our community is, you know, regarding difficulty settings. And you would be amazed at how many people who actually say, you know what, I really don't like playing really hard games. I think a lot of gamers who are very hardcore gamers, they go through a phase where I went through this phase, and I know a few of my friends did, where you keep seeking more and more difficult challenges, and you eventually kind of work your way up from playing, you know, like old school vanilla Master of Magic, and then you're eventually, you know, you're playing War in the East 2 against some player who's been playing for like two years already, because, you know, it's, you just want that difficulty. And I don't think that that's necessarily what everyone wants. I think the proportion of people who want a super difficult challenge is actually relatively low compared to people who just want to enjoy the game. And 4X games particularly, I think, appeal to an older fan base now. And I think those kind of players often are players who've got families, they've got jobs, they don't have the time to really, you know, work out how to min-max games to the point where they can beat an AI that's programmed to be very, very difficult. So again, I think that's the reality of pleasing people who, you know, want super difficulty, you know, the hardcore fans, as you would say, versus pleasing, you know, the overall community that are going to be paying for the game and buying the game. That's got to be an interesting balance to kind of make as well.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, as I said, I hope, well, the only problem with that, having it in difficulty setting, is, of course, it is, as you say, and I've often said that, because I'm, you know, I've been a gamer all my life, so I don't think I'm a crap gamer, but I don't particularly enjoy being challenged all the time. Like, you know, I play a lot of the time, I play to immerse myself in a game and relax and enjoy the story most of the time. So I usually choose story mode or easy and just enjoy that. But yeah, so I've heard from a lot of players that, you know, they might enjoy that too, but they don't want to change the setting to easy, because that's somehow less of an achievement. So that's kind of the issue that I'm slightly worried about, is that, yeah, we've tried to manage that through having the different play styles accommodated in the three different setting times. And then, of course, the custom setting where you can really just customize it to match your own player experience. But yeah, I'm kind of slightly apprehensive about how willing the players are going to be to do that. Because, some people just want an easy game, but they'd like it on normal or on hard. And we can't really... Well, then again, yeah, you can't please everyone. I think our game is certainly closer to the original Master of Magic than Caster of Magic. But I have had people say that it's on normal difficulty. It may be slightly harder than the original.
I think it's definitely harder than the original, from the 150 turns that I played, because the base game was very... very lame when it came to the AI. It really didn't do a whole lot, in my opinion. I'm not the biggest expert on the vanilla Master of Magic, to be honest, because I moved on to Caster relatively quickly. I don't think that you're never going to be able to please people who are hardcore fans of the game who really try to push the difficulty settings, because we all know how difficult it is to make an AI for 4X games. Even for a relatively simple game, it's really difficult. I know a little bit about AI. And, so I think that it would be unreasonable for people to expect that it was, you know, this kind of like crazy sort of like playing against another human. It's not really, I don't think it's really supposed to play like that. One of my friends from Explorminate, who is a really, really big Master of Magic fan, and he likes the original, he says to me that he just really likes that chilled pace. So I think he's thrilled with the new version, because I think it's just exactly what he wants from the game. And I guarantee you that there's going to be a whole big portion of the fan base who feel exactly the same. I think for people who want like extreme difficulty, you know, they can wait for modders and, you know, like maybe extra difficulty settings to be added later, perhaps.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. That's the thing. I think the future of Master of Magic, apart from our own contribution, I think will be in the mods to come. I'm actually really excited to. I'd like to fast forward us like a year from now and see, you know, how it's all going to work together.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Mila. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak to us and giving us some insight into some of the behind the scenes stuff and what's to come, even maybe possibly. And you know, I do want to say before we wrap things up that it's really difficult, I think, to toe that line between, you know, bringing something that's familiar while also, you know, maybe sneaking in some modern sensibilities. And I think you guys have done a really good job of that. And I know we've talked about that a lot during this podcast, but I think you guys have done a really good job of towing that line. And I'm really excited to see where you guys take this. And best of luck to you in your launch here in just a couple of days.
Oh, thank you. Yes, I'm looking forward to sleeping after Tuesday, because I don't think there's going to be much of that for the next few days.
I can imagine.
Yeah, anyway, thank you both for being here today. I really appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks.
And thank you, Mila. Thanks for joining us. It was really nice to talk to you. I wish you the best with the game. I'm going to get a copy as soon as it's out and going to try and get some streaming done, because, yeah, I'm excited to play it.
Yeah, great. And, you know, yeah, whenever you have more questions, I'm always happy to come on the show or answer them. So, yeah, it's always a pleasure to talk to you guys.
And it's always a pleasure to have you, Mila. Thanks again so much. And this was Rob, Ben, and Mila for Explorminate. Until next time, keep exploring.